They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
If it's not a foregone conclusion, it's almost one. I'm speaking of interest rates going up next week. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In 9 days, we will know for sure about the cost of borrowing in America. And to start this week, let's consult Julian Emanuel, the Executive Director of U.S. Equity and Derivatives Strategy at UBS Securities. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, David. How are you?
So next week, the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve meet. There is a consensus that they will, for the first time since 2006, start raising interest rates. What do you think? I mean, for real? Foregone conclusion?
It's been perhaps the most awaited event of my professional investing lifetime. But yes, we do believe that it is finally going to happen.
All right. So on that assumption, a question for you, given your line of work, what do you think this will do to the stock market?
This may be counterintuitive to a certain extent, but what we see is the Fed's act of raising rates sending a positive message. The economy is getting strong. We are not raising rates in order to fight inflation. We are raising rates in order to prolong what we see as a strengthening recovery. And from that perspective, we think you could get a very positive reaction in the equity market.
Well, it's certainly a line in the sand. It is some very smart people at the Fed saying the economy is pretty strong now. We can raise rates.
It also implies there is perhaps less concern that places like China and Europe are going to slip and that things are perhaps stabilizing there. And that's part of the recipe.
All right. 2 o'clock Eastern time, 11 o'clock Pacific next Wednesday. We'll see if any of this actually happens. Julian Emanuel, UBS, thank you.
Thank you.
The U.S. Senate is expected to vote Tuesday on an overhaul of the widely disliked education law known as No Child Left Behind. Its replacement also has a marketing-approved title, the Every Student Succeeds Act. It passed the House last week with a presidential signature possible before the holidays. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
The bipartisan Every Student Succeeds Act would dramatically scale back federal oversight of schools. Frederick Hess follows education policy at the American Enterprise Institute.
It gives back to the states the right to decide what constitutes adequate performance, how to intervene in schools that the states don't think are working, what constitutes a qualified teacher.
Schools would still be required to test students in English and math every year from 3rd to 8th grade and once in high school, and states would have to intervene in the lowest performing schools. But Carmel Martin with the Center for American Progress says schools would be judged on more than test scores.
Things like graduation rates, student and teacher engagement, participation in advanced coursework, school climate data.
Martin says those changes are already underway in some of the many states that received waivers from No Child Left Behind's strict mandates, waivers which would be null and void as of August 1st, 2016. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Grammy nominations were announced this morning. Kendrick Lamar and Taylor Swift on the list for Album of the Year. But there are many Grammy categories, including blues, where Buddy Guy was among those nominated today. The blues, by definition, is a tough genre. Ask the legendary Robert Cray, whose new album is called Four Nights of 40 Years Live. How is the business of blues doing in 2015? Allison Keys is on the Business of Blues beat.
Robert Cray is a 5-time Grammy Award winner, and his track Smoking Gun was a top 40 hit.
It's featured on his new album that includes songs and videos that span his career, melding blues, rock, and R&B.
You can, you know, hear and actually see the progression that's taken place over the years.
But Cray says it's tough to find blues on the radio these days, and the internet changed things for all types of music.
Basically, our form of income is being out on the road.
The blues right now has some serious challenges.
Grammy Museum Executive Director Robert Santelli is a blues historian who thinks the genre is in trouble. That's because of a dwindling audience with a short attention span that doesn't buy records.
It's in danger of becoming a historic music form.
Santelli says people who get their music through venues like Spotify don't develop a commitment to the genre.
The way in which we consume music today and listen to music is a definite disadvantage for blues artists.
In 2012, according to Nielsen and Billboard's Music Industry Report, 3 million digital blues tracks were sold compared to 323 million rock digital tracks. And Nielsen's 2014 year-end music report doesn't even mention the blues.
I shiver all over.
Cray says he's fortunate that he's been established for some time now. He's been on tour, but touring has changed since the beginning of his career, where the band stayed at the homes of the people they met in towns across America. Now, he has a lot of different audiences that make touring possible. Cray also says there have been periods when his band has sold a lot of records, but
it's not the same as it was for us back in the 80s.
But both Cray and Santelli think the blues will survive into the future. Cray, because he thinks upcoming artists will be inspired by the past, and Santelli, because he hopes some young people will get this music and support it. In Washington, D.C., I'm Allison Keyes for Marketplace.
And this week, the head of Volkswagen is scheduled to update the world on what it's doing to fix its cars rigged to cheat emissions tests and to fix a corporate culture that made these choices. There's also skepticism that Germany will get tough on VW, Germany's biggest private employer. The New York Times today reports on a growing resentment in Germany about what some see there as American authorities picking on a foreign car maker. The logic, apparently, is the U.S. is the land of the gas guzzler. How come the U.S. suddenly cares about the environment? VW's cheating diesels are being investigated not just in the U.S., but around the world. From studios at Montclair State University today in New Jersey, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.